John inserts himself into the passion of Jesus Christ and his account of the crucifixion, not only in the obvious spot when he gives Mary to Joseph to be his sort of adoptive mother, and when he gives John to Mary to be her caretaker son, but also in this lesser known verse, verse 35 from chapter 19. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. John says, basically, he is testifying to what he has seen, and his testimony is true. He is swearing to you this is a true testimony. And he knows he's telling the truth so that you, the readers of John's gospel, may believe. Furthermore, he goes on to show that he is telling the truth by demonstrating how Jesus' crucifixion, in so many ways, as he has already been doing, in so many ways, fulfills what was spoken in the prophets. At each and every turn of Jesus being strung up on the cross, do we hear something along the lines of, this was to fulfill what the scriptures said. Faith is trust. Trust is something that is earned or elicited by finding out that someone is a person of their word, that they do what they said they were going to do. Jesus is worthy of faith. Jesus does what he said in his word from of old, spoken by the prophets, that he said he would do. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, like Zechariah prophesied hundreds of years earlier. He was brought like a lamb led to the slaughter, like Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years earlier. He was ridiculed like the Psalms prophesied hundreds of years earlier, if not thousands. He was silent before the crowds. He was silent before Pilate, as Isaiah prophesied. He was counted among sinners and made a grave with the wicked, as Isaiah prophesied. His garments were divided, not torn, like David prophesied. His bones were not broken, again, like David prophesied. They looked on him whom they have pierced, Zechariah said. The list could go on and on. And on. We can go all the way back to Genesis and throughout the entire Old Testament. It is witnessing, promising, testifying to this moment in history, the most important moment in history, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The truth of the cross cannot lie. The truth of the cross cannot be denied. The truth of the cross also cannot be denied in this way. It shows your sin. As we've discussed, the scriptures are clear. The testimony is clear. Our faith has cleared it up as well. And if you want anything on top of that, the logic and the apologetics can share some of the glory too. They're also clear. Jesus is the Son of God. He was not a liar. He was not crazy. He said, I know my Father, and anyone who knows the Father knows him through me. He is true God. begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. But why should he, the Lord of all creation, why should he, the one who was so innocent, who fulfilled the law in every way, why should he be crucified? There is one reason, and one reason alone. God sent him to bear the wrath against the sin of the world, against your sin. The truth of the cross cannot be denied. The wages of sin is death. Whenever we look at this day called good, this day, this Friday, we should remember death. That's what the day is all about, isn't it? The death of Christ. But your death too. Because you see your sin on that cross, and you know you will also die one day too. Why else would the Lord be crucified? But to pay for sin, your sin, each and every sin of the whole world, the sin of Adam that was passed down to all, and also each individual sin we have all committed since. And so, as we will do in a moment, you can take that nail, just a little piece of metal, and you can nail it into the cross. That's not your actual sin. You know what your actual sins are. And when you put that nail into the cross, you can think about how your sins drive those nails into Jesus' flesh. How for each of your sins, a stripe across his back, or a spit in his face, or a spear in his side. For each and every one of the commandments you've broken, when you have worshipped false gods and false religions, when you have made gods for yourselves out of time or money or other people or status, when you have not lived like a baptized Christian, baptized into his name, honoring that name once given to you, when you have neglected the preaching of God's word and your devotions, when you have not honored your father and your mother and other authorities, when you have not helped your neighbor in his body, but have hurt him, when you have committed lustful and sexual sins, when you have stolen time or money, when you have not upheld your neighbor's reputation like you should, when you have coveted what your neighbor has, each and every commandment that we have broken, this Jesus whom you crucified with your sins, that's why he's there. The truth of the cross cannot be denied. And while it does show your sin, we thank God that it can also not be denied in this way. That when we look at that cross, yes, it convicts, but it also preaches. It preaches the most wonderful and beautiful truth in all the history of the world. That at that time, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. In him, God was, as Paul said tonight, reconciling, making things right, the world with himself. At the tree of the garden, the serpent overcame man. And man was kicked out of that garden. Man was separated from God. But by the tree of the cross, the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden was likewise overcome. Finally overcome. The serpent's head being crushed while Jesus' feet were nailed to that wood. And while that cross looks dead and is filled with death, it is the tree of life, truly. None other tree in foliage or blossom can compare. For at that tree, Jesus sends forth his mercy and his forgiveness. He was reconciling you, you sinners who put him there, to himself. What man meant for evil, God meant for good, to bring about the salvation of many. And through faith in the atonement that God worked on that cross, you are saved. And that changes everything. Not only are each and every one of your sins, the ones you were thinking about earlier, and the ones you don't even know about, forgiven, but he has also given you the ministry of reconciliation. It changes our whole life. No longer should we live in fear of death. No longer, when we think about our own death, do we think about it as an eternal punishment or as something to be feared, but rather as the thing which Christ has made through his death and resurrection, a portal to life. And no longer do we live in anger at God for telling us how his creation works, but we willingly submit to him in faith. And no longer do we covet one another and backstab one another and hurt one another and all the rest of it. But we love one another in the same reconciliation with which Christ loved us. Hope, faith, and love, these three abide. Through the cross, you have these three. You have life. You have salvation. The truth of the cross cannot be denied. Amen.